So next up is Steph Harold, who is speaking on I don't want to tell people I've had abortions, I'm just a person, you know. Steph holds a master's in public health from Columbia's Mailman School of Public Health. She's currently a research consultant at Advancing New Standards in Reproductive Health, ANSWER, at UCSF. Starting in January 2014, she will be the deputy director of the Sea Change Program, a new organization dedicated to transforming the culture of stigma around abortion. Cool. Thanks, Steph. Come on up.
Hi, everybody. Thanks for being here. So I'm Steph Harold, and I am lucky enough to work with lots of my colleagues who are presenting today at APHA, so thank you for coming. And today I'm going to give an overview of a project that Kate Cockerell and I call the Book Club Study. Over the years, we've participated in and observed conversations with dozens of colleagues discussing the idea that women should come out about their abortion to friends and family members and thinking about what impact those disclosures might have on abortion stigma. We suspected that the literature on LGBT stigma might have something to teach us about abortion stigma and about coming out. And we also thought that the lesson might not be as simple as everyone should just come out and then everything will be fine. We designed the study after looking at abortion stigma literature and contact theory for the reduction of prejudice. So first, I want to operationalize both of those before we talk about our study. So no relationships to disclose. So we worked with our colleagues at IVIS Reproductive Health to come up with this definition. It's a very simple one-liner that we think everybody can kind of understand and intuit, that abortion stigma is a shared understanding that abortion is morally wrong or socially unacceptable. And the book club study was designed as an experimental intervention to address abortion stigma. So in this particular intervention, we sought to address two elements of stigma, the negative attitudes people have about abortion or someone who's had an abortion, and the inferior status experienced by people who have abortions. So what is contact theory? So one strategy that's been effective at reducing negative attitudes towards stigmatized individuals is called contact theory. And it was originally conceptualized by a social scientist named Gordon Alport in the 50s. And this theory postulates that under appropriate conditions, interpersonal contact is one of the most effective ways to reduce stigma and prejudice between majority and minority groups. So in our case, the majority group would be people who haven't had abortions, the minority group would be people who have had abortions. So in other words, when people come into contact with someone who bears a stigma and come to know them and understand them and their circumstances, they have a hard time holding on to prejudicial attitudes. Sounds kind of familiar, right? So in the case of abortion, there's a challenge, though. Abortion is a concealable stigma. You can't just look at someone and know that they've had an abortion. And women who have abortions selectively disclose their experiences in situations where they can avoid being judged or harmed for their abortion. Providers also do the same. And many of you may have had to make a disclosure decision on your plane right here. Did you decide to disclose the nature of your trip to your seatmate, or did you keep it a secret? Did you tell them you were going to a public health conference, or did you tell them you were going to discuss research on abortion? Literature tells us that both disclosure and non-disclosure are rational responses to dealing with stigma. So no guilt for not telling someone you were talking about abortion at the conference. So the consequences of non-disclosure are important for people who hold prejudicial attitudes. So in this case, we're talking about people who are against abortion or have complicated feelings about abortion. So demographer Sarah Cowan found that people tend to make up their minds about abortion pretty early in life and not revise those opinions. People who hold anti-abortion attitudes are subsequently less likely to hear from a woman in their life who's had an abortion than someone who expresses more pro-choice attitudes. So it's not that people who are more conservative are less likely to be confidants overall. In fact, they hear about miscarriages, which are also an often privately held experience, at the same rate as more progressive or pro-choice people. So Gordon Alport mentioned that there were some conditions that help support reduction in prejudice. So in designing this study, we were trying to think about what conditions would bring women together who've had abortions and women who haven't had abortions. Where could we find a supportive environment for the disclosure of abortion experiences? And what kind of environment would promote listening on the part of individuals who had negative attitudes about abortion? Alport suggested that the conditions that reduce prejudice are equal status, common goals, intergroup cooperation, and support of authorities and law or customs. And when we were trying to figure out what kind of a group that would fit, we thought about book clubs. So book clubs are places where women are in equal status relationships. They have the common goal of reading books for fun and discussion, and members cooperate on choosing books and places to meet. And groups generally establish certain ground rules for discussion, emphasizing open-mindedness and curiosity. And we also like this idea that book clubs are the space where women could tell their stories, whether they had an abortion or not, this idea that every woman had something to share. So our study called Reading Women's Lives entailed recruiting pre-existing book clubs to participate, and we said that the study explored how women talk about pregnancy in the context of a book club. And as a discussion piece, we chose a book that's already been published called Choice, which is an anthology of 23 true stories of pregnancy. So it's abortion, birth, infertility, miscarriage, kind of across the spectrum of experience. So we were hoping that participants would be able to identify with something in the book. So the questions we were looking at, are book club spaces where women will share abortion experiences with one another? Does exposure to these experiences reduce prejudicial attitudes, and do these effects remain over time? So this study combines quantitative and qualitative methods. We use group observation and interviews. We also observe the book clubs to observe whether they disclose their abortion or other experiences. And we also conducted interviews after the book clubs to better understand reasons for disclosure or non-disclosure, and also just to figure out if this was a positive experience for people. We also administered confidential surveys both before and after the book club, and we also measured attitudes at three time periods. So before they read the book, immediately after the discussion, and then 3 months later. So I'm going to give you a little bit of quantitative and qualitative results since we're still in the midst of sifting through 14 book club transcripts. So how did we measure disclosure? So we recorded book club conversations, and then we administered a confidential survey after the book club asking participants about pregnancy history. We analyzed the transcripts and created codes to capture when someone talked about their abortion. And it wasn't just their abortion we looked at. We looked at if they talked about a friend's abortion, a family member's abortion, a coworker's abortion. So all different kinds of disclosures were measured. And then we compared their disclosures that they talked about in the book club with the survey. So if they had an abortion, did they talk about it? So this is how we measured attitudes. We use a tool called a feeling thermometer. And feeling thermometers are used all the time to measure attitudes. So for example, this is how people felt at one point in time towards these political figures, perhaps not so accurate at the moment. And the closer to 100 it is, the warmer people feel about these figures. So we've applied the same methodology to examine how people feel towards women in different scenarios. So we enrolled book clubs from across the country. We had book clubs in Alabama, Arkansas, California, Maryland, Missouri, New Jersey, New York, Wisconsin, and Utah. We had 121 people participate. 14 book clubs were enrolled. The age range was 23 to 76 years old. And studies of book clubs show that most are middle-aged, upper-middle-class white women. And if you get variation, you typically get it along one of those demographics, not all of them. That has been our finding as well. Our participants were very diverse religiously, but that was the demographic that they were most diverse on. At the suggestion of basically every all-female book club, we observed one all-male book club, and we've included them in some of our analysis, but since we're discussing abortion disclosure today, they are not in this particular analysis. So here you can see the pregnancy experiences of the participants. 19 women reported having an abortion, so about 18% of the study. And we know that the lifetime statistic is 1 in 3, so because of the age range of our participants, 18% felt about right. So here you can see the number of women who reported a specific pregnancy experience versus the number of women who disclosed that experience during the book club study. So here you can see in blue, almost all the women who had abortions actually told their book club about it, and fewer women disclosed their miscarriages than actually disclosed their abortion. So participants often talked about their abortion in the context of other pregnancy experiences, including birth and miscarriage. So for example, one participant said, "I really identify with so many of these stories. They triggered a lot of memories. I've had 5 miscarriages, and I'll put it out there. I had an abortion when I was 22. So there were 2 or 3 little touchstones for me, so many moments when I thought, oh my God, that's me." So some participants felt pulled in different directions. They did not want there to be shame associated with having an abortion, but they also didn't want to share their own experience publicly in order to reach that goal. So what's important to note here is that this participant felt comfortable sharing her abortion with her book club, but didn't want to share it publicly with strangers. She said, "I think it would be really difficult for me to actually go out there and talk about my experience and my abortion and what made me come to that. Because at the end of the day, for me, it's a private choice, and it's a choice that I stand by, but it's not something I want to proclaim to the world." So now going back to thinking about attitudes, here are results from our feeling thermometer measure. So remembering that stigma is something that devalues a person, what you see here are scores on a feeling thermometer. Participants scored people they felt warmly towards closer to 100, so there you can see a mother, right? And they felt people they felt coolly towards were closer to 0, so a pregnant smoker was the person that they felt the coolest towards. So these scores give us an understanding of how generally positive attitudes towards women and mothers are degraded when we add other descriptors, for example, like a mother who's had 1 abortion. Reading backwards from right to left, we had the average scores for a mother, a female abortion doctor, a woman who's had 1 abortion, and others. And these were all before they read the book and had the discussion. These were their attitudes. So this slide shows the average change in attitudes post-intervention, so after the book club. There are a lot of descriptions not on this list, like the pregnant smoker, for example. We chose the descriptions that were the most related to our discussion of abortion. So we didn't see any changes in attitudes towards inconsistent birth control users, but we did see statistically significant small improvements in attitudes towards most of our abortion-related descriptions, and a larger change in the most unacceptable description, or what people found was the most unacceptable, which was a woman who's had 3 abortions. But we felt kind of unsatisfied with these numbers. We were curious if the trend towards increasing positive attitudes held for people who had the most negative attitudes in the beginning, and whether the effect was larger. So we tested it again, but this time looking for change in scores among those whose answers felt on the lowest range of that feeling thermometer, so who answered from 0 to 50, or those who held the most prejudicial attitudes in the beginning of the study. So we found that the average increase in score was substantially higher among the most prejudiced people. So whereas there was no change in attitude towards a woman who was an inconsistent birth control user, for example, in the test using only the folks with the most prejudicial attitudes, we found that there was a statistically significant increase of 8 points. In some cases, the effect more than quadrupled for individuals in the most prejudiced group, which we think substantiates the claim that contact works and that the effect is larger for people who have the most room for change. That's a slightly nicer visualization of that change. So here you can see the yellow represents the average increase in the score of our full sample, whereas the orange represents the average increase in scores among participants who initially expressed the most anti-abortion views. So participants shared that reading choice and having the chance to discuss their thoughts with peers caused them to question their beliefs about abortion. Several of these participants expressed anti-abortion beliefs before the book club and reflected on how those beliefs shifted as they read the book. One participant shared, "I've always been pro-life, but this book, you know, it took, like somebody said, it took my mind where it didn't really want to go. It helps me understand why people choose abortions. It gave me greater compassion for other people." So as I mentioned at the beginning of this presentation, for contact theory to work, it requires some people to talk and other people to listen. So not only did the book club discussion prompt disclosure and sharing of experiences with a new group, it was a positive and transformative experience for women who had abortions and women who had not had abortions. So one participant said, "We've all told our stories to each other. It feels really good. It builds relationships, it makes you understand each other more, and it makes you feel more connected." And another who identified as pro-life said, "This is different than other experiences I've had talking about abortion because there was someone there who had one. Abortion is not black and white. You can't just dismiss someone who's had one." So we have several limitations. Our sample obviously lacks diversity and is not representative of all women. So on the one hand, homogeneous groups are important for contact theory to work, but we definitely need more intentional recruitment of women of color book clubs. This goes for other factors. Most of our women identified as heterosexual, so we'd love to have what would a discussion of abortion among queer women look like. That would definitely be something that needs further exploration. We also didn't have a control group. Our younger women participants had less to disclose, mostly because they have a lot of their reproductive lives ahead of them. What else? Oh, and the book is called Choice, and a lot of our participants actually talked about this, that they were worried that people who had anti-abortion attitudes wouldn't even pick up this book because it's called Choice, because it has a pregnancy test on it. So thinking about what else could we use to kind of prompt these discussions among groups. So our conclusions for now is that most women disclose their abortion experiences to their book club members. Exposure to stories and personal experiences of your, you know, friends and family members contributed to changes in attitudes post-intervention. These changes were maintained 4 months later, and that contact is a promising strategy for reducing stigma around abortion. Thanks.